We always get what we need when we need it, right? I've been pushing through some things this past couple weeks in my life. And bless you, Love and Action Team, because this is just what I needed to reaffirm for me. And it says, I will push through challenges so that my struggles today will become my strengths tomorrow. Isn't that beautiful? That's wonderful. That's exactly what I need. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. I might be just a tad too loud. Just a touch. I hear a little echo. Okay, that should be great. Well, did you know this morning you were going to be tested? We're going to see how good we are with our Bible wisdom. Okay? And so if you know the answer, just shout it out. I have the top 10 sayings of Bible mothers. So I'm going to read you a phrase, and if you know whose mother it is, shout it out, okay? So this first one's easy. The mother says, get your hand out of that lion. You don't know where it's been. Who is that? All right. All right, number 9. I told you not to play in the house with that sling. Go practice your harp, and we pay good money for that thing. Okay. Number 8. Stop wandering around the countryside and get home for supper. Stop wandering around the countryside and leading those people and get home for supper. Abraham? Well, one doesn't fail you, so okay. 7. Sarah needs to be here for this one. This is her favorite. I told you never to play in that fire. Right, okay, good. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? All right, this one, I know you know this one. Get off your brother, you're going to kill him someday. Okay. All right, number 5. No, you can't keep them. I told you not to bring more strays in here. Noah, okay, Noah. Number 4. Have you been hiding in that wine press again? Look at your clothes. This is a hard one. Gideon? That's a hard one. That one's not fair. That was in Judges, and we rarely read from Judges, but okay. Number 3. Now, I know you're going to get this one. No more burping contests at the dinner table, please. People are going to call you sons of thunder. All right. James and John. Have you been in my purse again? Nobody know that one? That's Judas. With the coins. Okay, now this is the last and final one. You're allowed to miss a couple, but this one, all right. Here we go. What? Your father's business is back in the carpenter shop, not in the temple. Keep up with us, son. All right. All right. Well, that's not bad. You guys are pretty good Bible scholars. All right. So today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. There are a lot of nurturers in this room. That's people that care for others. We care for each other, aren't we? So we're celebrating our day today. Just a little bit about the origin of Mother's Day, in case you didn't know it. It goes back to the era of ancient Greek and the Greeks and Romans. And that earliest history dates back to the ancient annual spring festival the Greeks dedicated to the maternal goddesses. But here in the United States, a resolution making it a national holiday was not signed until May 1914. By anybody know the president? Hey, there might be money involved in this. 1914, the resolution was signed by what president? Just visualize receiving your money. We're good at that here in Unity. I didn't think anybody knew. Okay. So, millions of people around the globe take it as a day and opportunity to honor mothers and to thank them for their efforts in giving them life, raising them, and being a constant support for them. And I do so today myself. So today, I honor my mother and the nurturers in my life as you do also. So I don't want to take away from you mothers who have actually gone through the birthing process, because that's miraculous. That's a miracle. That's really, I'm in awe of that process. But I also want to say that a nurturer is someone who is in the process of caring and encouraging growth and development of someone or something. So we have a lot of us in here that do that exact same thing, and I'm sure you're recognizing them in some kind of way today. I also realize, because you know, a lot of times in Unity we have the tendency, well, at least on Sunday that is, to talk about the warm and fuzzy stuff. Because on Sunday, sometimes that's the only time we can talk about this truth if we can't get you into classes. But I realize that some people today may not have fond memories or warm and fuzzy memories about a mother relationship that they're involved or have been involved in. But in that experience, to bring about a healing, just take a moment. We're here, we're learning that it's all about loving unconditionally, about releasing things of the past and taking a step into the newness of life. So just take a moment to contemplate this thought, that the mother you had was a vessel through which you were birthed on this earth plane. And through that process, we should give honor and say thank you for that. Now, I know your lives, whoever I may be speaking to this morning, I hope not anyone in this room, but whoever may listen to the tape, no matter how your life is, right here, right now, you have an opportunity to make a choice. And that choice is to forgive and move forward. You're an adult now, hopefully. I'm talking to an adult. I don't know why I'm saying this. This wasn't even part of my script, holy, but someone must need to hear it. You know, we begin to move when we know that the Christ in us is always there, that the Christ in us nurtures us. I love it how we used to say Father, Mother, God, because the Christ in us is that mother nurturing part that lifts us up and that hugs us and carries us when we feel that no one else is there for us to do that. Think about a mother's love. A mother's love, what's involved in a mother's love? Well, first of all, a mother forgives constantly, because there are things, I remember things I've said to my mother as a child that I'm glad she loved me enough to overlook all that stuff. Anybody else have anything? You know, I am so glad she overlooks that stuff. So a mother forgives. Mother loves unconditionally. I've heard stories and I've seen things where mothers have done some things, but the child still loves them. The child still follows behind them. The child still wants to be with their mother. I had a childhood friend that I grew up with, and her mother would beat her. Her mother would kick her, physically abuse her. And so I went back to Indiana as an adult, maybe about 10 years ago, and I ran into her, and her mother was in a nursing home. And her mother was going through I don't know if you could say pre-Alzheimer's or dementia. But anyway, my friend went every single day to visit her mother. And she told me, she said, I know you talk, I've heard some of your messages online because from your sister, because I used to send my sister CDs. And she said, you know, people ask me why I love my mother after what she's done to me and why I still go out there every day when I'm her only visitor on this earth plane. Why that happens? And she said, simply because she's my mother and on some level I love her deeply. So we can take a page from that. I know today I said I was going to do lessons from women in the Bible. You'll get that one day, not today though. I had a little struggle within about what I wanted to bring you, so I ended up relenting and going ahead with this message I had prepared back earlier in the year. So anyway, there are two mothers I want to talk a little bit about this morning, because I think that these mothers set a beautiful pattern for us to go to follow as our way shore. Now, I'm sure you have others that can also, that you have also followed and know up. And in a few minutes, I'm just going to give you, I didn't have them set up a mic, but we'll use this one. And I'm going to give you just a few seconds to say what you'd like to say about a nurturer or a mother in your life. The two mothers I want to talk about, the first one is three mothers really, my own mother. I attribute where I am today to my own mother because it's important to plant seeds. You know, it's important to plant seeds in minds, to speak this truth we know, to be positive about it. My mother was not a unity congregant, but my mother would always order these magazines from this place called Unity. And no matter what I was going through in life, miraculously on my bed, one of these magazines would turn up with circled what I needed to read. So my mother planted seeds early on of unity in me because I was a teenager back then. I won't tell you how many years ago that was, but I was a teenager. I hadn't even graduated from high school. I was going through the teenage things, and miraculously, here comes an article about healthy relationships. Or here comes an article about letting go of something that may have been disturbing you. Or here comes an article about my moodiness sometimes when I would retreat because I felt the world wasn't treating me right. My mother implanted these things in me early on. Now, the other mother, another mother I want to talk about is Mary, the mother of Jesus. We all know her, right? Right? Okay. Let's see if you're woke out there. All right. So, Charles Fillmore in the Metaphysical Dictionary gives this as the metaphysical meaning of Mary. And this is what it represents within us. It represents the soul, which is our thinking, our consciousness, what we're aware of out here. It represents the soul that magnifies and lifts up the Lord. Then who's the Lord? The Lord is in you. You are the Lord. You are the Lord of your being. You live and move and have your being in God. That's in you. So when we magnify that by praise and thanksgiving and a grateful heart, we lift up the Spirit of the Lord in us. The temple is our bodies. We lift up the Lord in our temple daily through devotion, through preparation, through prayer, through thinking the higher thoughts. Mary also signifies divine motherhood of love, unconditional love. She can also be said to be the intuition in us, that inner knowing and apprehension of truth. Now, when we think of Mary, think of having a son or being told you're going to have a son. You're not married yet. You're betrothed to another. And it's not his child that you're going to have. Think of being told that this is going to be a special birth. Would you say yes? I think a lot of us in this room would probably say, oh, no, I pass. If you really think about it, I think you would say, oh, I pass on that one. Thank you, but no thanks. But Mary stepped into that role saying yes. Unconditional love. She, once she had the son and she knew that he began to do some things that she knew he was ordained to do, she let him go. She let him go because she knew he belonged to the world. Did it weaken her love? No. It strengthened her love. You know, when we think about Mary and the way that she had to have looked at this whole thing that she was going through, we can learn a great lesson, a lesson of strength, a lesson of compassion, a lesson of letting go, a lesson of not smothering our children, not smothering those we are given to nurture, but let them test their wings a little bit, let them fly. So that's what some things we can glean from Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, the big one for us here in Unity, Myrtle. Oh my gosh, Myrtle was a strong figure. Myrtle stumbled into Unity through a healing in her body. They went to listen to a lecture, and as a result of a lecture, she heard the words, "I am a child of God and I do not inherit sickness." She knew that there was something in her that was greater than what she would go through in the world. That's a big, long story, and if you haven't heard it, there's a book, Myrtle, the Mother of Unity. Read it. She was like the glue. When money began to fade, when they only had, there's a story about they only had a couple's dollars or cents in the coffer, and someone said, "Well, we have to hope the finances hold out." Myrtle said, "No, we have to hope our faith holds out." So she taught us a lesson of faith, a lesson of strength. Thomas Witherspoon wrote that Myrtle had a grand vision of Unity early on. She was in the midst of a large crowd gathering about her, most of them children, undisciplined, rowdy bunch. And within her, she heard a voice, "Who will take care of the children?" And the answer came from within her, "You are to take care of the children. This is your work." Myrtle was a teacher, a mother of three, and she realized that she was the one to build an avenue for the children to learn this truth that we learn today also. When her youngest son transitioned at an early age, Myrtle wrote, "I can't say tonight anymore," she was talking, wrote to her sister, "my heart is full, but God loves and blesses us all. I'm sure that Royal is not idle wherever he is." That was her son. "I am a grateful mother. All my sons are treasures, and Royal is still among us." So even though he had made his transition, she was saying, "He's still here with us." So if you're out here today, your mother or the one who nurtured you made their transition, know that the essence of who you are is their spirit alive in you. Yes? Yes. All right. So I'm going to take just a half a moment. And if there's anyone out here that would like to say a few words about the nurturer in their life, or just say, you know, a few words of gratitude for your mother, if your mother's here with you right now or not, if you'd like to say anything, I'd like to give you an avenue of release this morning, because sometimes it helps to say it out loud. Mary. Oh, thank you. Just a couple seconds worth.
Why does she do that?
My mother had 6 children. There were 2 younger than me. I remember recently thinking, my mother took time to do my hair on rags, so I had beautiful long curls. How did she have time to do that? Thank you. Oh, that's mine.
Oh, okay.
That's what I hear.
Anyone else want to say a few?
My mother's been gone a long time. Marcia's not here, so I can't get any brownie points. So I'm going to express my gratitude to this lady right here who came into our lives when we needed her most, and she was instrumental in helping us raise our 2 sons, and her husband and her daughter, her whole family has become part of our lives, and they are very, very special people.
Oh. Oh.
I'm very grateful that I'm sitting here with my mother today, and what you said about how the, you know, mothers should let their children go, and she let me go, and I had broken wings. Oh. And she never gave up on me, and she just carried me, and then I'm just grateful. She's a wonderful woman, and I am truly grateful that I've got you. That's it.
I agree. Anybody else? Oh, I'm sorry.
I was fortunate enough to have my mother be my very, very best friend because she had a difficult time with me. But we ended up, I became an adult, she was my best friend and still is today, even though she is gone.
I was very fortunate because I grew up with a loving mother who never found anything except good things to say about anyone. And it was really hard because she would be, you know, a class mother where she'd go on trips with us. And if there was one person in the class, one like usually little boy at the end that was always kind of causing trouble and everything, she said, "Don't look at that. There's good in him too. You haven't walked in his shoes. He doesn't have probably a, you know, a loving house, so he needs love." And that's what I grew up with.
Oh.
Very grateful.
I had a wonderful mother, too, who thought my sister and I could do no wrong. And she just thought we were wonderful. And I'm so proud of my own daughter. And that's all I have to say.
So I feel very lucky to be here with my mother this morning. And you reminded me of my grandmother, your mother, with the hymn earlier. I forget what it's actually called. For the Beauty of the Earth. I did not know this, but apparently that was one of her favorite hymns. And she ran the junior high Sunday school, is that correct? And apparently she subjected her Sunday school students to that hymn very often. But it was nice to hear that song this morning. I remember that song myself. So.
Oh, okay.
I'll keep it short, but my mom had 12 kids and one every year. So she was very busy. And I was the second oldest, so that being said, and she passed a couple years ago, and we'd all help take care of her and everything, and I honor her, but she was so busy that the one that I feel is kind of mothered me the most is my oldest sister. She's the number one, and she's her name's Marianne, and she's still a very, very big part of my life and has helped me through a lot of problems, and I have a lot of other sisters that are also very good nurturers. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
my mother also became my best friend as I matured. And my mother was the seventh child in her family, the seventh of seven, so she was the spoiled one. She never told me, go do as you please. She always told me exactly what I was supposed to be doing. And I was very rebellious, so when we became really good friends later on, it was wonderful relationship. And I'm just so grateful that I was with her when she passed, and she was very loving, and she had been acquainted with Christian Science. Mm-hmm. And so there were many of the same things that Unity has coming from this similar time and background that she always told us three children that we were the children of God. And, you know, it was a very good upbringing. Mm-hmm.
My mom, when she was 35 years old, she became paralyzed from the waist down when they contracted polio in 1950, so when I was 5 years old. And my father had to raise twin boys. Mm-hmm. And mom pulled through on that thing. She was still paralyzed from the waist down, so she couldn't walk. But she was able to fix meals, prepare meals for our family of four, and did the ironing in the hospital when the laundry had to be done. So I'm real grateful for my mom. And since I was a premature baby at 7.5 months, they didn't think I was gonna live, but she was determined that she told the nurses at the hospital, I'm gonna feed him around the clock if I have to. He'll be 6 feet tall and strong as a horse. I'm 6 feet tall, but I'm not strong as a horse yet.
I'm so happy and grateful for my mother. I had three mothers. I had my mother, my Aunt Wilma, and my grandmother. They always talked to me. My grandmother would call or write me letters. I would write her letters, my auntie also. And my mother would always sit and talk with me. We did things together because I was the only child for 12 years. And she taught me, once she started having more children, how to take care of them. So, so I'll always be grateful. She wasn't a hollering mama. That's what I loved about her. Okay.
All right. So, this morning we want to take a moment and we want to turn within and prior to the meditation, let's think about those nurturers in our lives. And let's think about holding them in the atmosphere of this allness that is God. Whether they're physically on this earth plane right now, or if they've made their transitions and they're about God's work elsewhere, we want to still hold them in this love and in this light. So just take a moment, send energy out. I have sisters also that nurtured me. I'm sending energy to them. You may have others in your life that you want to feel these vibrations. Our church members, let's think of some of them. Let's send them this energy. And now as we take a deep breath, we lay all these things aside and we begin this inward journey this journey within where we are strengthened and we are filled with the awareness of unconditional love. You know, to give love, it's a circulation thing. You must receive and give and receive and keep love circulating in our universe. Our universe needs the love of a mother, of a nurturer. And so we see it enfolded in pure love. As we make this inward journey, breathe in and breathe out and just surrender to this moment right here, right now. This is what we have right now. And as we surrender to it, we come to that point within where the light is brilliant. And we step over the threshold into that inner chamber, and immediately we know we are in the presence of pure spirit. Breathing in and breathing out. Taking a moment just to soak up the vibrations of the peace and tranquility contained herein. And so take a moment to yourself. Just take a moment to sit quietly by the flow of the gentle waters within and know that you live and move and have your being in the allness that is contained in this moment. Right here, right now, in the quiet. Holy Spirit, we're so grateful for this day. We know we honor our mothers always, not only on a special day, but we know that this is a day that the world celebrates, so we join them and send those vibrations out, surrounding our nation, our universe, our planet. We're so grateful for the nurturers in our lives. And so we open our hearts and our minds to make a point this day to embrace someone in need, to let them know that you are special. Because in you is the Christ. So we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you in the name of the living, loving Christ, moving in and throughout all creation. And now, as we have been taught by our way shower, Jesus Christ, we affirm together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.